They would always just say the same thing. You've got leaky gut or something. Adrenal fatigue, chronic Lyme. General attitude was, what works for me is going to work for you. I realized very early on that wasn't the case. I was on a mission to find out why different things work for different people. I started to do biohacking with my genetics. We really just hired scientists with no agenda. There's about 50 genes important in determining your weight. There's genes related to how easily COVID can get inside your cells. We're really trying to make something that's like a personalized search engine for your health.
Welcome to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast, where we meet the world's top experts to explore the secrets of health, mindset, longevity, and so much more. Are you ready to take charge of your existence and biohack your life? This show is for you. Please keep in mind, we're not dispensing medical advice and are not responsible for any outcomes you may experience from implementing tactics lying herein. Are you ready? Let's do this. Welcome back to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. I get so many questions about how to best analyze one's genetic data. For starters, I think we are just at the very beginning of drawing conclusions based on what we learn from our genes. I think the role of mindset and epigenetics is huge. I don't think we're destined by our genes, so I'm almost hesitant to recommend services because I don't want people to think they are destined by what they find. I personally have had my genetic data tested, and originally I was using the service Prometheus, which is where you can individually search individual SNPs, which are basically different versions of your genes, to see what that might indicate. That's an awesome service, but it is super comprehensive, super complicated, and very overwhelming. It's not a really easy thing to navigate. Beyond that, I've also tried a lot of genetic analyzing services where they basically come up with recommendations and draw conclusions based on your genetic data. The issue with those is I find the recommendations and conclusions are often very black and white, very linear. They often make recommendations that I wouldn't even recommend for anybody. Like, I can't tell you how many people are like, this report told me to eat more PUFAs to lose weight, which are polyunsaturated fats, which honestly, I would never tell anybody to eat more PUFAs to lose weight. I mean, that is a topic for another day, actually an upcoming podcast. But in any case, hi friends, welcome back to the show. So I am very excited about the conversation that I am about to have. So story for listeners, when I first started this show, way back at the beginning, I actually made a list of a lot of dream people that I wanted to bring on, you know, doctors, authors, researchers. And on this list, I had the founder of my favorite website. And now here we are with that person. His team actually reached out to me, which was a very wonderful, surreal, exciting moment. So for listeners, friends, I have been a huge fan of a website called Self-Hacked. Since then, it has grown bigger into Self-Decode as well, which we're going to talk about. I've loved the website Self-Hacked. It is a wealth of knowledge for all things biohacking. I cannot tell you how many nights I have found myself in tangents of research rabbit holes on this fascinating treasure trove of information. I am so grateful for it. Super excited to be here today with its founder, the brilliant Joe Cohen. Joe, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for the kind words.
I am really, really excited. We were talking before the show. I was saying that on this show, I have a lot of, you know, very specific episodes on specific topics, but I haven't really brought on a self-identified biohacker, really. Maybe like Seamland. I think he might consider himself a biohacker, but most people don't really like identify as that. But there are so many topics that we can talk on. I know something near and dear to your heart is genetics and the implications, interpretations, and amazing things that you can learn from that. So we'll definitely dive deep into that. But before going into all of that, I was wondering if you could just tell listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, your history, what brought you to where you are today?
Sure. So growing up, I basically had a ton of health issues, and they weren't the kind of health issues that, you know, could be helped by conventional medicine. I would go to doctors. I knew there was something wrong with me, that I wasn't optimally healthy. But I didn't have any serious diseases or disorders. And so I would go to doctors and they wouldn't really know what to do. And they would just send me home and say, you know, it's like, hey, my sleep is not good. I have insomnia. I'm tired all day. I have brain fog. You know, I have gut problems. And, you know, if you got like, basically they could just say, oh, you have IBS and that's that. There's really nothing to do about it. And so there was just, you know, I had mood issues and it's like, okay, go to a psychologist. I went to one, there was nothing to do. And so he just tested me and said, you know, yeah, I can't really help you, but your mood is just generally like he called it dysthymia, which is like a low grade depression. Brain fog was the biggest issue, motivational issues. It was just a whole gamut of issues that I was having. And it just didn't seem like, you know, I could get help from the conventional. And I wasn't a huge fan of the alternative either, just because it seemed like, you know, if you would go to a specific person, they would always just say the same thing. You've got leaky gut or something, you know, adrenal fatigue, a chronic Lyme. And then it's like, okay, what do I do for all that? And it's like, I don't know, it just seemed very, very woo-woo. And I'm a very scientific kind of person. Right now, there's a lot of people who like that, but just personally, it just didn't vibe with what I was interested in. I wanted the data, you know, where are all the studies to back this up? How do you know all these questions? And so I started to like look at other blogs and see what people were talking about. And it just seemed the general attitude was, what works for me is going to work for you. And I realized very early on that that wasn't the case, right? So I tried things that other people were doing and it just didn't help me that much. And I also just realized that like everyone has a different opinion on everything and everyone's super confident about what they're saying, right? So the plant-based vegans are like, yeah, we know 100% sure. We're 100% sure this is the best diet for everyone. And, you know, the paleo would be like, we know this is the best diet for everyone. So it was just this, you know, everybody was saying this is the best for everyone, whether it's keto or, you know, now there's carnivore. I just realized that that's can't be the case. You know, just speak to 10 people and you'll see that everyone does well on something else. And I just knew that anyone who's too like, this is the cure for everything, you know, just follow this. I tried it anyway, but I just realized that like, I have to figure out how my body works. And then I want to understand how the body works in general. And so this way, you know, I could figure out what's good for me. And then I could also figure out what's good for other people if I do that, right? So if my body works in this way, then this is good for me. If your body works in that way, then that would be good for you. I was on a mission to try to find out why different things work for different people. That was really my main mission. And self-hack, yeah, I bought the domain in 2011, but I wasn't healthy enough to really make it into something significant until I didn't start the site until pretty much early 2014. And, you know, I just wasn't healthy enough to do it and also do, you know, I was in school also for a time. And, you know, I had motivational issues, mood issues, all these kinds of issues. It just, I was not able to do anything besides taking care of my own health. I was basically just busy all day taking care of my own health. So yeah, I already had the idea of self-hacked as in everyone is different and you have to biohack yourself. So that was the idea of self-hacked, is give people information to learn how you can biohack yourself. And you can make your own decisions about what works for you and what doesn't based on that information. So I always made the effort to be as thorough as possible in our posts, but also as simple as possible. Because there was a lot of websites that were thorough, but they were not simple. It was very complex. And there were a lot of websites that were very simple, but they weren't thorough or scientific or, you know, rigorous in terms of the science. So I wanted the combination of very rigorous science, very thorough, but also open-minded, right? Because a lot of the mainstream sites were just very like, you know, just giving you what basically your doctor would tell you. And I wanted something that was, what is the science saying rather than outdated information from medical school. And I wanted it to be very comprehensive as well. I wanted posts on all different kinds of topics. But something I realized was that it was all great, you know, having posts on different supplements and just a whole bunch of different topics. But the issue was that people found it, they still don't know what would work for them. And the reason is because it was missing a lot of key elements. You know, you can have a lot of information, but not everyone is going to read every single post on Self-Hacked. It's a very comprehensive, you know, site of information. And so we kept on trying to make it simpler and simpler and make sure, like, really, you know, so that anyone can really understand it while also keeping some of the science so that people understand the mechanisms and why. There was still an underlying issue where people are not going to read 1,200 comprehensive posts and, you know, posts about biology and pathways and this, that, and the other. So there was something missing in terms of personalization. And it was very clear from 2013 already. I started to use my genetics and I was doing that in 2014. And I just realized that, you know, I started to do biohacking with my genetics and lab tests as well. But I didn't have any tools to help me. And so it was a very cumbersome process where I had to look at an individual SNPs and do all the research on my own. And it took a very long time, but I still found it was very interesting and helpful. It just was very, very, very hard to do. And I realized that, you know, people, they wanted information that was personalized. And so what I did was I started to give consultations, but obviously I'm only one person and I couldn't scale that, right? And even if I could, even when I was doing consultations, I needed tools to help me to make it more efficient. Because if you really want to do it right, it could take 10 hours for an individual. You know, I couldn't charge for my time for 10 hours. Most people can't afford that. And so I knew that I needed the right tools to help people personalize their health. And the big missing pieces, obviously, were genetics and lab tests, as well as looking at symptoms and whatnot. But genetics was a huge piece because for any given trait, genetics is usually about 50%, you know, it's caused by 50% genetics. So if I talk about my inflammation issues, my brain fog, that had a lot to do with genetics. Same with my, you know, the gut issues. My mom had gut problems. Her mom had gut problems. And that's as far as I know back, right? So I'm assuming someone back, you know, my grandmother's someone had gut problems, but I just didn't know about it because I never met them or didn't know about them. But essentially, you know, it was clear that genetics was a huge factor in all these things. And it was also clear that through genetics, you can understand better how to implement things and that you'll get better results. So instead of guessing, which I was doing for a while, just randomly taking or doing anything I could get my hands on and then seeing what worked, you know, with looking at the science, of course, as well, there'd have to be some kind of plausible, you know, reason that it would work, but it was a lot of guesswork. And I just thought, like, I need something personalized, not only for myself, but for other people as well, so that they can harness the power of their genetics, look at where they're weak, where they're strong, look at how they can improve their health in a personalized way. And that's where Self-Decode came along.
Oh my goodness, listeners. So now you can see why I'm obsessed. Yeah. So you were touching on going back to like the format, for example, of Self-Hacked. That was what I loved so much about it, was that it was so comprehensive. And I can't even understand how you could have created all this content. Because basically, whenever I was doing research, I would like Google the topic and then I would put Self-Hacked in the Google search to pull it up on the site. And the formatting has typically been all this information with links to studies, but like you said, very succinct, very easy to follow. And then what I loved about it was I never got any sense of cherry picking, which is just such a overwhelming problem normally. It just felt very much like this is the information that we have. So I found it very, very enlightening. But then, like you said, there is this need to, you know, interpret that and what do you make from that? One other thing I wanted to comment on was I love how you started this conversation talking about, you know, the tension between, you know, conventional medicine and being specialized and not really finding the answer anywhere compared to more natural medicine, but kind of, you know, applying this blanket label of, you know, leaky gut or adrenal fatigue. And I hadn't really thought about it before, but in a way, I feel like biohacking is sort of combining the two and that it's taking like the specialization of conventional medicine, but applying it from a more holistic or at least more nuanced overview of the body. I was just contemplating that while you were saying that. But I just started using Self-Decode as well, so we can hardcore go into that for listeners so they can learn what they can learn from that. But before that, so I'm dying to know, when you had these health issues, brain fog, fatigue, digestive issues, the timeline of that. And then when you did start looking deeper and finding the genetic aspect to things. So like, what did you learn about yourself? What steps did you take? And then how quickly did you see changes?
Yeah, sure. So just to go back on the cherry picking, and I'll get to that your question. The way I went about self-hacked is I hired scientists and I told them to, I basically oversaw them, told them to research the topic. And the instructions were research it to death as thoroughly as possible, find every study you can that's relevant, and then write about it. And these writers, these scientists, they didn't really have a background in health.
No agenda.
No, they had no agenda. Basically, no one on the team had like any specialized diets or anything that I was aware of. It was just like they were random people. Like they were scientists. And the criteria was, can you write science? And we trained them also in a way that the lay people can understand. And we really drilled down on, making sure that it was understandable. But we really just hired scientists with no agenda. We made sure that it was simple and very thorough. So that's why you didn't get a sense that there was cherry picking, because we didn't have an agenda. There was no agenda. We don't have any dogma. Whatever the science said is what they wrote. And that was that. And it's the same. We have the same policy with Self-Decode and Lab Test Analyzer. It has nothing. There's no dogma involved. It's just what the science says. But yeah, so getting back to what steps did I take? Basically, how did I use my genetics to become healthier, essentially, is what you're asking. So yeah, I used my genetics and my lab tests to get healthier. And what I did was, for the genetics, I looked at, let's say genes related to gut inflammation. And I would go deep down into each gene and see what are the natural ways to counteract this genetic weakness. And I knew a ton about supplements and, how basically I spent a ton of time learning how the body works and the biochemistry. And so I was able to figure out pretty quickly, okay, this gene works through this pathway, and that means that this might help me. And one example had to do with the cannabinoid receptor. So I saw that, there's many examples when it comes to these things, because each topic has its own examples. And, it can be a really, really long conversation. And I keep on learning new things all the time. But one thing, let's say, I found in the beginning, this was one, the earliest one was MTHFR. So I had the homozygous negative variants for that. And I realized I need to start making sure that I have enough, methylfolate and get enough folate in my diet and whatnot. Now, that actually I didn't see any improvement on, but I'm always aware about my intake of natural folates. And if I'm not getting enough B vitamins, I do take the B vitamins. So that was like one of the first things. But then I also saw I had genes related to oxidative stress, like SOD2, and I realized I was more susceptible to that. But then one of the biggest eye openers were, early on was with this gene called CNR1. And I knew that I was like sensitive to a lot of plant-based materials, and I knew that it had to do with my gut, and I knew that it was genetic as well. Pretty much everything has, partial genetic cause. And so it was, I was like, what are the genes that are most important for me with regard to this? So I saw that I had this, relatively rare variant of the cannabinoid receptor. I also had some negative variants of the serotonin receptors, the 2A receptor, and these, both of these are actually really, really concentrated in the gut and the brain as well, especially like the hypothalamus and whatnot. And I knew these problems were very related to the gut-brain access. So I started to dig into like, what is the, what are these genes doing? And I started to realize that, okay, let me start, seeing if I target these genes, if I can lower gut inflammation and improve mood and, things like that. And so I started targeting these pathways, and the things that I did was actually way more helpful than what I was doing before. And I start to understand that, said, wow, like this is having a big impact. You know, so basically it gave me ideas about what I should try, what I should prioritize. And that made a very big difference in my health. And so now my food sensitivities are less. I basically know how to, I mean, I still have them, but I know what diet I need to have. I know if I do stray from my diet, what are the things that will help me? And I also have a better idea of how to help my mood as well. So, you know, if I would get inflammation or gut inflammation, it would also affect my mood. These things were very connected. And so these kinds of things, they gave me very good tips based on, you know, this kind of understanding, the genetic understanding. And I was able to dramatically improve my protocol and have a much more customized protocol.
And one more quick question about that. What was the timeline on how fast you would see changes in yourself after making changes? Like a week, a few months, a year?
No, I would generally see a change within a day.
Oh, a day.
The same day. Yeah, no. So what I would do is I would try something in a higher dosage, and I would generally notice the change that day or even a few hours later.
Supplements or dietary changes or?
Yeah, these changes, they help me out right away. Now, I think they help people out. A lot of times they help right away, but sometimes people don't notice it right away just because people are different in what their issues are. Like, for example, if you have a skin issue, maybe it's eczema or psoriasis, it's not going to go away the next day, right? It's going to take time. And so that's something that would take longer. But for me, if I was fatigued or something, or I had brain fog, I would notice differences that day. I would just notice my brain was working better. I had lower inflammation. This kind of biohacking really allowed me to propel to the next level. It really allowed me to take self-hack to the next level, start up Self-Decode into, you know, a big company that is making a very big impact on the genetic space. And then I also start up the lab test analyzer. And now we're combining the lab analyzer with Self-Decode so that people can get both of them. And so they're already combined, essentially. And then also I have another company as well. And you know, the other company is not related to health, but that's, and I'm still working on it, but I've been working on that for a few years. Essentially, that I found the hardest part about starting a company was hiring. You know, it was just really hard to hire good people. I went through it was a very high turnover in the beginning. And because you got to remember, when I started Self-Hacked, I mean, I didn't have any experience with the internet marketing world or content creation or WordPress or starting a site or starting a podcast or doing anything really. And definitely not a complex company like Self-Decode. Self-Decode, there's a lot of software development. You know, it's not a simple company because there's development related to privacy and security. There's, you know, genome files are very big. I wanted to build a lot of features that were really good. There's designs. You have to make it so that the information is presented really in a not complex way. So there's UI UX challenges. It's not like building an app. If you look at any bank, I always think, who is creating these websites? They have to be completely deficient in UI UX. It's so hard to use some bank websites. It's crazy. But that's a bank and that's tried and tested. When you're dealing with a genetics app, right, you have to make sure that the information is, you know, accurate, and there's all the software, the back end, the front end, the designs, the content creator, the scientists, the bioinformatics. It's a complex operation and you really need to hire very good people. And so that was kind of like a very big challenge. And so I created software just for that purpose, essentially, is to hire good people. And I created tests and software, and now that's its own company. So it's like we vet people in a very good way, because if you have people, like, you really need the top people to move forward a company like this. It's not a simple company. One of the biggest changes, of course, was once I got, as I was biohacking, you know, first I was able to start Self-Hacked in 2014. Made very significant changes. And then with the genetic changes and looking at my lab test, that allowed me to get to the next level. I started self-decode. And then I started the lab analyzer again, which we're, you know, combining. And for the past 3 years as a side project, I've been doing this hiring software and tests. And that's, you know, that's its own company. So it's not easy to start four companies that are, you know, each company is very significant on its own, right? And especially the hardest one by far is self-decode. You know, with all these companies, there's each one has its own challenges. And so if we're going into self-hacked, there was a massive, basically nuclear bomb in the health world, as a lot of, you know, people who are really into the health world know. Basically, Google stopped ranking any website that was not WebMD, Healthline, or the big hospitals or governmental organizations. They, no matter what your content was like, they don't care. So they're basically shadow banning content producers. So we got, you know, we made self-hack really, really good. We would be one of the top websites right now if Google gave us the traffic. Basically, if Google didn't ban us. So anyone who goes to self-hack, they'll see it's a really amazing resource. But what we're focusing on now is actually something that I'm more excited about, which is the genetics and the personalized health. Because as great as self-hack is, it's not personalized. And so we took our expertise in writing amazing blog posts. And then my idea a bunch of years ago, and we already, you know, we built it, we have a whole bunch of content on it, as you know, is to take our expertise with the personalized, with content and also, and software as well, and genetics, and create the world's first personalized health blog, which never existed. You will not find a personalized health blog out there. And you can see, you've read the articles, you see that all the content, you know, a lot of the content is personalized to you and as an individual with report, and the same with the reports as well. It's very personalized. But essentially, that's, you know, that's where I've always wanted to go. And so the Google updates basically just spurred me more in that direction. But essentially, like, these are complex companies, and to really do a good job, it takes a really amazing team, which we have now.
That is so incredible. I love how you founded that other company just because it was something that you needed with the self-hiring. It's kind of like with me, although this is in the health sphere, but I was always trying to figure out my food sensitivities and like figure out which foods were high in different compounds, you know, amines, histamines, salicylates, oxalates, lectins, gluten, FODMAPs, often referencing self-hacked to research a lot of this, but there was never like one resource that would compare all of them. So I made an app for it actually called Food Sense Guide, and it's super popular, but it was literally just because like I needed it for myself. I was like, I need this app.
Yeah, those are the best because everything I've built, I needed for myself. I wanted this database, this encyclopedia of simplified information on self-hacked. I wanted this genetics analyzer, the lab analyzer. And then I also needed hiring software and tests to make it work.
That's so incredible. That's incredible. I will tell you probably, because I can't even tell you the hours and hours I've spent on self-hacked. If you're curious, my two probably favorite resources is the super nuanced overview of the TH1 versus TH2 discussion. The resource that, or I guess you're the scientist that you hired. That's incredible, by the way. I love hearing that's how that worked. It's just so fascinating. Do you have any thoughts on that, by the way, the TH1 versus TH2? Because I know like you had mentioned sometimes in the posts, like your personal experience with things.
Basically what happened was in the beginning, the first year, I was the only writer on self-hacked. That was a post that I wrote. A lot of the posts that were very popular, I did write. You know, the vagus nerve post, that post. And so it started out as a personal kind of blog combined with science, of course, and my personal experiences. As you know, you said you had your personal experiences. But over time, starting, you know, I basically hired a science team and I trained them and I oversaw them. And so it became less of a personal blog and more of a resource that, you know, was basically what I wanted, but it was a resource that was more unbiased. And so those did not have personal opinions. Now, after the Google debacle, you know, basically it was something they were penalizing any website that wasn't medical consensus or, you know, if you had personal opinions on it, they would penalize you. So we actually separated that into self-hack. It was without the ED. And so there's now a new site, self-hack. And the idea was that if you type in self-hacked, any post that on self-hack will also come up. But we did leave a lot of posts, including like the TH1, TH2 dominance on self-hacked. But what we did was we had them like, we took out some my personal opinions, we put in a little more science, and then we also had them medically reviewed. We added like some kind of, you know, basically skepticism to it. Basically like, oh, we don't really know what the deal is. Essentially like some disclaimers. And then, you know, basically to make it medically compliant so that if a doctor sees it, like a conventional doctor, they'll appreciate it. If an alternative doctor sees it, they'll also appreciate it. You know, it'll be credible to both of them. So that's that was one goal. But also another goal was to basically get our Google rankings back, which didn't end up working anyway. But basically, the content is still stellar. I mean, it's still incredible. You know, just the level of the depth, the thoroughness, and comprehensiveness that you can get from it, even though there's a lot of information. So in terms of like what I think TH1 and TH2 are very significant. And that was a realization with me, for example. And there's genes related to that, of course. But basically, the immune system is built in a few different ways. There's TH1, TH2, TH17. And each one has its pros and cons, really. But if you're TH1 and TH17, if you're too much in that direction, they kind of are this balance, TH1 and TH2, where TH2 is more anti-inflammatory, but it also has some issues like you're more likely to have like peanut allergies, those kinds of allergies. Whereas TH1, your immune system is just more likely to be elevated and have autoimmune issues, right? Gut problems, autoimmune issues, brain fog, whatever it is. Whereas the TH2, those people tend to have like eczema, they have like hay fever, they have just different kinds of like pollen allergies. They're also more prone to gain weight. And so there's, you know, it was one thing that I noticed when I was doing a lot of research was like, okay, this is why people are reacting to different things. And it turns out that all these supplements and a lot of things with the diet, you know, basically balanced you in one way or another. So if you're very TH1 dominant, I was taking a lot of supplements to reduce that. Whereas if you're very TH2 dominant, it's just a whole different supplement paradigm. And so that was like one of the big light bulb moments where I was like, okay, this is one way that people are very different. And depending on what you are, you have to try different things. But again, these things can get complex, knowing, okay, am I TH1? Am I TH2? And then you're something else. So that's where the personalization comes in. So that, you know, more specifically, we tell you, here's what you need to do based on your genetics and lab tests.
Hi, friends. Do you want to come hang out with me and Dave Asprey and so many other guests I've had on the show? You simply must come to the 10th Annual Biohacking Conference, May 30th through June 1st in Dallas, Texas. And of course, I have a massive discount code for you guys. I went last year to the one in Orlando, and it was one of the most fun times of my entire life. I met and got to hang out with so many guests that I've had on the show. I met so many of you guys. And of course, there's lots of Danger Coffee and Dave Asprey approved meals and Dry Farm wines. And that's just the social aspect. The conference itself is mind-blowing. They have this incredible expo where they have all the biohacking supplements, all the biohacking things. You can learn about them, try samples, meet the creators and founders. If you haven't tried a lot of biohacking things, it's a great chance to actually try them out in person. Things like BrainTap, infrared sauna, hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and so much more. There are so many incredible speakers as well. You can hear talks from people I've had on the show, like Paul Saladino, Dr. Daniel Amen, Dr. Sarah Gottfried, Dr. Mercola, Dr. Annika Becca, and that is just a few of them. I seriously had the time of my life last year, and I would love to hang out with you guys. And you can get 35% off tickets. Just go to melanieavalon.com/biohackingconference and use the coupon code BCMelanie to get 35% off your tickets. That's melanieavalon.com/biohackingconference with the code BCMelanie to get 35% off your tickets. This code can be used for general admission or for VIP access. Seating is limited. They do sell out. They sold out last year. So get your ticket now. And if you come, definitely let me know because I want to meet you. So hopefully see you guys in Dallas. MelanieAvalon.com/biohackingconference with coupon code BCMelanie. Get your tickets now. I'll see you guys there. Hi, friends. Okay, so I'm a little bit embarrassed because I've been talking for so long about red light and near infrared therapy, which is so, so important. However, I kind of left out something really important about light. So as you guys know, I've been talking about red light and near infrared for so long. And at the same time, during the day, I was using a bright SAD light. So it's those white lights that help with waking you up, help with your circadian rhythm. They're used to combat mood issues and depression. So I have a really bright white one of those at my desk. A few things about that. I knew it helped wake me up and kept me stimulated, but I wasn't sure if it had any detrimental effects using it. And then two, I was also wondering if by just focusing on red and near infrared light, was I somehow missing something in the full spectrum of light? Guess what? I was. And guess what? I found the solution. And guess what? I have a discount for you guys. So the founder of a company called Soulshine reached out to me and he was like, do you know about the importance of full spectrum light? And I was like, you know what? I've been wondering about this for quite a while. Please educate me. Oh my goodness. This man blew my mind. I talk a lot about the problems of blue light. That said, we evolved in natural full spectrum sunlight that our genes are programmed to respond to. And today, we do not spend enough time in that light. A lot of us don't go outside, and we're overexposed to blue light. It's a problem. And then to make things even more problematic, the common SAD lights that I was talking about that are bright white, they actually do not contain the full spectrum light. They filter out certain wavelengths, and they're high in blue light. So just like I thought, it was not doing my health many services. There is only one company I have found, or I guess that found me, that makes a full spectrum white light device. So the Soul Light systems include the fullest spectrum of visible and invisible near-infrared light with traces of UV light. Yep, that's right, because you need all of that as well. Don't worry, it's not an exuberant amount that's going to cause a problem. It's just a tiny little dose that your body actually needs. You can use these lights to fix your circadian rhythm and properly stimulate your brain's suprachiasmatic nucleus, or SCN, in a way that it was supposed to be stimulated. It's kind of like the natural spectral diet. Because yes, you may be suffering from malillumination. Did you know that your entire bloodstream actually filters through your eyes in a relatively short amount of time? That's the only way your blood is exposed to the outside world. So when we expose our eyes to this light, it actually can have beneficial effects on our blood. That is crazy. It helps with skin, with mood. This is the light that I wasn't thinking about that we need. I love Soulshine's light therapy devices. I do use it in combination with my red and near infrared light devices as well, so that I can fully bathe my body in the best light that is so helpful for my sleep, for my stress, for my metabolism, for my immunity, for my health, so many things. They have so many different device options. They have one that I love that kind of looks like a Juve, and I sit it on my desk, and it has options for the full spectrum light, which is that bright white light, as well as a near infrared option. So what I do is I do a session of the full spectrum light in the morning, and then I run the near infrared to help counteract the negative blue light around me. They also have stands with bulbs that you can get. I've been using some of those on my plants. I am just so grateful that Ken at Soulshine found me because I was missing out on such a key aspect of light and I had no idea. And you can get 10% off at melanieavalon.com/soulshine. That's SOLSHINE with the code Melanie Avalon. So melanieavalon.com/soulshine, SOLSHINE with the code Melanie Avalon for 10% off. It's really helped my mood, my energy, my sleep, so many things. I think you guys will love it. So again, go to melanieavalon.com/soulshine, SOLSHINE, and use the coupon code Melanie Avalon to get 10% off site wide. And we'll put all this information in the show notes.
I was just so fascinated by all that information that you compiled. And then I'm trying to remember now, one of them like really resonated with me. It was probably being TH1 dominant, I think. I'd have to revisit. But then I remember looking at like one of the pages about supplements and dietary practices and such that affected them. And it just really like resonated with me, like I said. But there is, like you said, the caveat of you can have all this information and make generalizations, but there is still that specificity that is likely very important based on one's individual genetics. And then I will say really quickly, the other post, which now hearing your story about the evolution of that website, I'm guessing this was probably the same case as the TH1, TH2, one of your original posts, was your take on the lectin avoidance diet. Because there, you know, there's a lot of a lot out there about lectins and all of this stuff. But A, your post on it was amazing. And B, like your it just so happens like the diet that really like worked for you is like the diet that really works for me. And that's when I was like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. I mean, you just might have similar genetics. I don't know.
I would check out your CNR1 gene.
What does that one do again?
That's the cannabinoid receptor. There's a lot of, you know, like cannabis and CBD are what interacts with the cannabinoid receptor, mainly THC. But essentially, the cannabinoid system is quite complex, and there's a lot of things that actually interact with it in like a lot of supplements. It's really a very, you know, significant system in the body. People know it based on cannabis, right? But it's really has like, when you're not smoking cannabis, it has a lot of things that it's doing, right? It is very, your body has its own natural cannabinoids, and it has its own, you know, machinery, the receptors, different enzymes. So that system is very important to determine whether you're TH1 or TH2 dominant. If your cannabinoid systems are not working as well, you're more likely to be TH1 dominant, right? And so that's why genetics is a very important factor. Extremely important, basically the main thing, whether you're TH1 or TH2 dominant or TH17 dominant.
So when I'm in the self-decode platform, how would I pull up specifically the CNR1 gene?
So you can do it in a couple ways. One way is, you know, basically people don't necessarily know what gene they want to pull up. So generally the way I recommend it is you look at a topic. So the CNR1 gene is in the brain report, the cognitive enhancement report. It's in the mood report. So generally, if someone has a worse mood or they want to improve their brain function, it's also in the gut report. So these are kind of some reports that you would look at. It's also actually it's in the weight report as well. So the weight report will be released once this podcast is out, but essentially it's in different reports. We have a particular blog post about lectin sensitivity and that gene just to make it easier. And so if you just type into the personalized self-decode blog, you know, lectin or something, lectin sensitivity, it'll come up with the posts.
I pulled up my mood report. For listeners, I hadn't looked at the mood report yet. This is so interesting.
Well, there's a lot of information. You really have to, yeah, I wouldn't expect you to look at it basically because, you know, you can only do one. Basically, the way I do it is I'm focused on one topic at a time, whether it's mood or something else. But if you just look in the blog, the self-decode blog, the personalized blog, and you type in lectin, you're going to find the gene that has to do with CNR1.
I actually would love your thoughts on this. So when I did the Facebook, it was called Genes for Good is what it was called. What was really interesting, and this is what I'd love your thoughts on, was there was like the file that was more limited. And then there was another file that they said was like the quote complete file, but it was based on, I guess, them like filling it in based on what they thought it would be. Does that make sense? Like it was like based on other trends, I guess. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, I don't know that I would want to use that.
You're talking about they did like some kind of imputation where they...
Yeah. It was imputed versus not.
So that what you put is the limited file?
Yes. What would the other file be?
We're doing imputation as well on our files.
Okay. So what does that mean exactly? I didn't understand what that meant.
First of all, our chip is a lot better without imputation. So we're testing, I think it's about 800,000 SNPs or something. And it's a very good chip. So I find it's better than 23andMe's. But with the imputation, that should go up to 1.5 million or something. It basically just means that with all the data, based on the variants that you have, they could predict with 90, you can basically choose a cutoff of certainty. I don't know what certainty they chose, but let's say it could be 98%. So 98% probability that this is your variation based on the other SNPs that you have.
I'm going to check actually because I have it right here.
If you only had one post show up for lectin, probably just means it's a limited file and the imputation is also limited. I would recommend getting an additional file. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah. It says, for example, they estimated genotypes at an additional 7 million positions by comparing your directly measured genotypes to a set of 2,500 people whose genotypes have already been determined and filling in the best guesses for your DNA on ones that we did not directly measure.
Right. That's imputation.
I was always wondering what that meant exactly.
Yeah, it just means they're guessing based on, you know, they're doing it. We're doing the same thing. I mean, we haven't implemented it yet, but we're doing it. It'll be automatic also. So if you upload the file, it'll automatically impute and give you the expanded information. I think I would get another file anyway, just because it seems like this one's limited.
Awesome. So for listeners, because like I said, I did have my genetic data from that, the Genes for Good. So I had run it through various services like Prometheus, which is really fun, but very overwhelming. And then other various decoders, but they were always kind of basic and didn't really give you that information. And I just got the self-decode platform. And like I said, it is the coolest. It's really well done, which should come as no surprise, seeing as how well done your work is in general. But it's organized by category and then very clearly notated. And you can see how you can learn a lot, basically, about yourself. What is your favorite out of all the reports?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably say the gut health, just because I'm most interested in it. You know, the reports that we made more recently, the more recent that we made them, usually the better, just because we're always learning and making them better. And we're updating the whole report system. We're making a lot of changes, but the gut health is really good. I like our COVID and respiratory infection report. I like our longevity report is interesting. The mood report is very interesting. Mood and gut health are something that I'm always interested in. So I kind of, you know, look through those. And I also look through the categories on the blog. So the blog has categories. You can, let's say, just, you know, press gut health and it'll automatically sort them based on the posts that are like that you have some risk in, right? And so then, instead of, you know, and so you could basically, like, let's say if we're talking about in any given topic, there's usually around 50 genes that are, you know, somewhat important, you know, that cause some kind of effect, somewhat important effect. Same with like weight. With weight, there's about 50 genes that are important in, you know, in determining your weight. And something with weight that's actually quite interesting is that the variance in how much of it is genetic is person by person. Some people, it's estimated that it's as little as 21%, but it goes up to 81%. Oh, wait, 24 to 81%. So in some people, it's up to 81% in terms of like, that's how much your genetics is influencing your weight. Now, the thing is that we also know that with any of these traits, you could always do a lot of stuff to, you know, even if someone has genetics that make them overweight, if they know the right protocol to do, they can manage their weight and be relatively thin, right? Or they can be thin. And so I love the self-decode blog. The reason I love the report is for the prioritized recommendations and to get some kind of overview, like a risk score of your likelihood of different things. But basically the prioritized you know, recommendations based on your genetics. And I find that most useful for that because that takes in all the genes into account. But when I want to like read about each gene, I'll look at the blog and I'll see, okay, here are the genes that are most important for me. And I'll read that from the top. And that's very, very interesting for me.
So one little question, because I can't let it slip before we move on while we're still talking about the CNR1 gene. So does that affect whether or not people respond to CBD oil, for example? Because you know, some people say they like don't respond at all, and some people say it's like amazing for them.
Yeah, so there's actually a couple reasons for that. Number one is some CBD oils are not good.
Okay, so assuming like a good feels is the brand I adore.
Yeah, assuming that people are using a good brand, it has an impact on other genes as well. For one gene that would have an even bigger impact on is FAAH, which basically is this enzyme that breaks down your natural cannabinoids in the body. And it inhibits that enzyme. So then you have more cannabinoids in the body. Another thing, and you know, this is why also it makes a difference in knowing your genetics. One thing that CBD oil does is it doesn't activate the cannabinoid receptor. It actually inhibits it. So I find when I take CBD, it doesn't help me right away from my food sensitivities, but it'll help me the next day. And I would not realize that if I didn't understand what my genetics were and what CBD was doing. And so that's exactly what this platform is able to tell you. It's telling you, here's how your genetics are working, and here are the supplements that, or lifestyle factors that can, you know, enhance, you know, make you better in a certain way. And we always make sure that we basically take a holistic approach. So a lot of companies are only looking at genetics. What we do is we make sure that it also is good for the underlying topic, right? So we won't ever tell you, do this because it's your gene. We'll tell you, let's say if you want to improve mood, and we know that CBD helps mood, but if CBD also particularly helps a gene that's related to mood, then it would go up in the priority list, especially if it's helping multiple genes. And so that's essentially how we're using self-decode and how people use it is with CBD, there's multiple genes that it'll have an impact on, and, you know, multiple genes within mood, within other categories, inflammation. And you want to see how it's helping those categories. The best way to do it is based on look at the category that you're interested in, and it'll show you all the genes that are increasing your risk for something. And then it gives you the recommendations at the end of the post about how to improve that. And it gives you all the research as well. So that's what I would recommend doing in terms of, so if I typed in FAAH and it shows me I have a, you know, an orange face, which is not ideal, but it's not particularly bad. And this is as it relates to, you know, ARDS, which is related to coronavirus. That's what the complications with coronavirus, you know, whether how predisposed you are to inflammation after you get a respiratory infection or something like that.
Gotcha. I'm so like eager now to upload a fuller genetic profile. So the genetic test that you guys provide, how long? Because I know a lot of times the turnaround on that takes a while. How long does it take to get the results for that?
I believe it's around 6 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a spit test, I assume.
Yeah. So the reason we provide our own kit is just because a lot of people don't want to go with 23andMe just because they don't want it to be sold to pharmaceutical companies. And it happens to be that our kit is also a bit better.
I just have one last follow-up question about the CBD. You were saying that it inhibits the receptor. It inhibits it for everybody or only for certain people? Like, what's the individualized aspect of how you react?
No, so it's going to inhibit it for everyone, right? The thing is that it inhibits it. It blocks it. Doesn't inhibit it. It blocks it. And the reason why you might feel benefits the next day or later on is because it increases the receptor. By inhibiting the receptor, by blocking it, it upregulates it, it increases it. So there's more receptors that then come online. And at the same time, it's also increasing your internal cannabinoids by inhibiting this FAAH enzyme. And so it's helping someone in the short term, but it's also helping in the long term. And so it's something that if you're doing, you might not notice an effect that day or something, but if you take it over a long period of time, it could help you. Now, CBD, generally, if you're taking like a full spectrum CBD, it could, you know, you might notice effects right away, just because also not through the cannabinoid receptor, it does inhibit inflammation in the short term as well. So regardless of the cannabinoid receptors, that it does inhibit various cytokines and inflammatory pathways and inhibits TH1 and TH17.
And so for CBD specifically, it has a pretty quick and potent effect on me anxiety-wise. For example, a few weeks ago, I was broken into, which was really traumatic. They like stole all of my electronics. Have you been broken into before, by the way?
Never, actually.
It's crazy. You get back to your place and you just can't like comprehend it. You're like, wait, what?
What did they steal?
They stole my large iMac, my huge TV, my laptop, my hard drive, everything attached to my computer. It was terrible, especially because it was, you know, during quarantine COVID and the entirety of my, you know, podcasting, blogging, writing, everything is from my computer. I lost everything and Apple stores aren't really open. So I had to drive to Alabama like 3 hours the next day because it was the closest Apple store open to get a new computer because I had 2 interviews that week. But I learned a lot. Home security. Everybody get home security. Here's my PSA. So now I have home security. I love SimpliSafe. That's what I ended up going with. But oh yeah, I was like, why am I talking about this?
So yeah, it improved your mood. Like that, you find that that improves your mood. So the thing is that something like CBD can have a lot of impacts. It really, a lot of things have a lot of impacts, like exercise, a lot of natural stuff. They have very broad ranging impacts. Now, CBD might improve your mood. It might help you in some ways a lot. It might not help you in other ways a lot, right? It depends on the topic. So it could be very helpful for mood, for example. But so yeah, I mean, it does good things related to mood, partly by increasing cannabinoids, the endocannabinoids, which is your natural cannabinoids.
So would you recommend, because I'm really trying to like get it worked out because I know it works for me. Like I said, for listeners, if they're curious, I use the Feels brand. I think we have a discount for listeners, 50% off at feels.com/Melanie Avalon. But it has a very profound effect on me. But I find myself like reaching to it when I feel the need for it. So like if my anxiety fills up, if I'm not sleeping well, I'll take it. Or like I said, when that robbery happened, I think I took like half a bottle and I went from bawling on the floor to like laughing. But I'm wondering if maybe if there's a more therapeutic route to it, like should I be taking a little bit of it every day? It's really interesting hearing what you were saying about how, you know, it might have lingering effects later on. I was reading something on, I don't know if it's Self-Hacked or like the book that it sends from your website. And you were saying how you supplement with CBD. Do you find that if people respond well, that they should be taking it like on a daily basis or more on an as needed case by case basis? I'm just trying to tackle the CBD issue. And we get so many questions about it.
So the answer, okay. So by the way, just for me personally, it does not help my mood whatsoever. It goes to show you that, like I said, it could help your mood because there's something specific about your mood. Like in our mood report, I think we have like 90 genes or something. I forgot the number of genes, but we really have a lot of genes that we're looking at. There's a lot of genes related to mood that could, you know, and out of those genes, there could be, let's say, 20 that are most significant for you, right? And so those are the ones you really want to focus on, you know, because some of them, you won't have the negative variations for some of them. And some of them, you know, there's going to be 20 or whatever number, could be 15 that are very important for you. So you want to look at those. And, you know, look at the recommendations and see what comes up and then try some of those things. But let's say for mood, CBD has multiple impacts on mood as well, right? And I can't tell you every one of them offhand. I know FAAH and the cannabinoid system is one of the significant ones that can increase your mood. And if it's helping with your mood, it probably means that you can strengthen your cannabinoid system. And so anytime you see genes related to the cannabinoid system that are not working so well or increasing your risk of some kind of mood issue, you want to focus on those even more, right? But like I said, so CBD does a lot of different things for different people, does not improve my mood. But apparently it improves your mood. It is good for inflammation for me if I'm taking the right kinds for food sensitivities, but I also find that it helps over time as well. And so if it's for food sensitivities, I recommend taking it every day or, you know, if you know you're going to be going to some place in the night, you could take it in the morning. And then also you could take it at night as well, right? But the point is that I would take that if I know I'm like breaking my diet a lot, I'm going to take that, you know, even when I'm not breaking it, so that it's having that kind of long-term effect as well. And by the way, that's why naturally CBD is often found with THC. And that's why it's like recommended you take it together. So small amount of THC, a good amount of CBD. Basically, the THC is activating the cannabinoid receptor, but if you just take THC, the next day your cannabinoid receptors are going to go down, meaning the THC basically just was like, you know, activating all your cannabinoid receptors, and then the body's response is to decrease them. But if you take CBD, your body kind of blocks those receptors, so it doesn't have the full impact, and it kind of doesn't downregulate them the next day. That's why they're very good to go together. I also found that this is one thing that I realized also based on my genetics, because I had tried THC and I didn't like the way I felt. But once I saw that it was important for my genetics, the cannabinoid system, and for food sensitivities especially, I started to take small amounts of THC and I ingested it. And when you ingest it, it doesn't have a, like if you ingest a small amount, it doesn't have the same impact as when you smoke it. When you smoke, it's kind of like this flood. Whereas if you ingest it, it has effects over like 24 hours. And it, in particular, it's like digesting in your gut. It's activating the receptors in your gut. With CBD, it's a great combination. So if you're finding a lot of genes related to the cannabinoid system for different topics, then that is the system you want to look into more.
Awesome. So it can have a pretty anti-inflammatory potential in the gut.
Oh, yeah. Oh, THC, yeah, it's very good anti-inflammatory in the gut because your gut is really loaded with those CNR1 receptors. So is your brain, your hypothalamus. Everything is really interconnected also because this cannabinoid system works with the inflammatory system. It decreases inflammation. It improves your mood. One of the negatives is that it can increase weight, right? Now, you seem pretty thin, I think, based on a picture I saw. But essentially, people who are overweight are more likely to have a better cannabinoid system just because it actually causes you to gain weight if you think about it. A lot of thin people are kind of like deficient on the cannabinoid system. Think about when someone's like a stoner, they gain weight. You'll gain like 10 pounds if you start smoking a lot of weed, right? So it's because of it's related to the cannabinoid system. And actually, like they developed drugs that inhibited the cannabinoid system and people lost a lot of weight. But then they had depression and like mood issues. Yeah. So it just goes to show you that, you know, it's a very important system. And for specific people, you know, if you're TH1 dominant, if you're thin naturally, if you're high levels of anxiety or mood issues, it's something you want to pay attention to, especially if you have these kind of variants that you'll find in your mood report or in, you know, if you're looking at the personalized blog. But yeah, we have CNR related to weight. We have it. There's, you know, it's related to weight. It's related to mood. It's related to food sensitivities. Inflammation, it's really related to a lot of things. And they work in different ways also, meaning like if you're trying to fix a mood problem, you want to increase it. If you're trying to fix a weight problem, you want to decrease it. Not to the point where you're like, you know, causing negative effects, right? If you have a weight problem and a mood issue, it's probably not a good idea to do that. But that's where all this personalization comes in.
Speaking to that, what are your thoughts on SSRIs and how people respond all over the board to those?
Oh, that's genetic. Yeah. A lot of genes in the mood report, you'll find that if you have this gene, you respond better or you respond worse, depending on your variations. And so it's just something that is a genetic thing. Some people really respond to the serotonin, some people don't. It's a genetic thing.
And super random question. Do you take low-dose naltrexone?
No.
Do you have any thoughts about it?
There's variants related to the opioid system, OPARM1, I believe. Like if you have negative variants in the opioid system. So if we don't have a blog post on it or a report, like number one is you want to download the report. You want to look at the blog post. If we don't have it, you could also, we have a massive database that you could just look it up and it'll, you know, you could find out information in the Self-Decode database. You know, but I do know that we have one post on, I actually wrote it. It actually has to do with relationships, believe it or not. Some like...
Oh, the post?
Yeah, but there's like a lot of posts that have to do with...
Maybe autoimmunity?
No. I'm talking about even relationships. There's a whole category of like opioid receptors. They have to do with mood and so do the serotonin receptors and oxytocin. They actually impact how you function in a relationship.
It's incredible. So, okay, super random question. What is maybe the most profound biohack that you discovered for yourself based on all of this that you implemented that you saw massive changes from?
Figuring out various variants that were impacting my gut and in my mood. CNR1 was one, the serotonin receptors. But also, you know, I found that, for example, butyrate was critical.
I was going to ask if butyrate was one of them.
Oh yeah. No, it comes up for me a lot.
So you supplement with butyrate specifically?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So to that point, actually, what are your thoughts on people generating butyrate naturally from their gut bacteria from fiber versus supplementing versus like butyrate from butter?
I do both. So butyrate from butter is not going to do anything, but butyrate, I take the supplements and I also take resistant starch, quite a bit of it. And I find the resistant starch, they're both effective for me. They have a significant effect. I also find lithium orotate is good. I have a GSK3 beta gene that is related to my mood. These have helped me a lot. It's like, I would not be anywhere close to where I am, you know, today if not for these things. I don't know how I would get by, to be honest.
Yeah, for listeners, butyrate, it's a fatty acid. It can be generated by our gut bacteria from fiber, and it's super important for supporting the lining and energy of the colon. And I recently, I don't know, I've been contemplating, I should look through the report and see. I've recently been like craving starch, which I never have. And I feel like my gut has been like kind of out of whack. And I was just like contemplating it. And I was like, I wonder if this has something to do with butyrate. I've never supplemented with butyrate.
Download your gut and mood report. But yeah, you might need a better file also, because if it's a limited file, you're not going to have all the, you know, you're not going to have enough SNPs. But the file that we offer is very good.
So I'm definitely going to have to do that. Has there been any biohack experiment that you've regretted or you had like a really intense reaction to?
Maybe in my early days, I was a little reckless just because, you know, I actually found that once I started doing it based on my genes and labs, I was less aggressive about it because in the early days, I would take something until like I felt it very strongly. And I was doing like any random experiment I could get my hands on. But once I was doing more of the personalized stuff, I was just a little more confident that, you know, certain things, like I didn't feel like I needed to do like some mega dosing experiments. I was just kind of like, you know, taking things that were based on my genes and lab results. And for my lab results, I was able to see improvements. You could see that based on your lab results. You know, you could take a before and after. The genetics, obviously your genetics are not changing, but you can change your genetic expression. But overall, I whatever I focus on, I find that I have improvements.
Yeah, I love that. I tend to go extreme with my, I'm probably like the earlier version of you. I tend to go really extreme with my experiments, for better or worse. The only supplement I've experimented with where I just so strongly reacted that it like scared me was iodine, actually.
Did you take the Lugol's iodine?
Yep.
So the thing is, I also reacted very negatively to it.
Oh, really? How so? My eyes turned like bloodshot red. I was like, what is happening?
I was, my whole body was freaking out from that. So I actually think that that has to do with SOD2 gene, the ability to handle superoxide, because it basically like causes a very significant, intense increase in superoxide. And if you can't handle it, your body's going to freak out a little bit. So the thing is, I took it once. I freaked out from it like you did. I haven't taken it since. But I bought it just because for if I ever have like an infection, it's a good thing to like have that rush of superoxide actually.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but I would try to do it in a little bit of a, like more, I wouldn't take as much maybe.
Yeah, and I feel like I didn't even take that much.
I didn't either.
Because normally, you know, like you can react to things and you're like, oh, okay, I think I'm reacting to that. I don't know. But this was just like, oh, like clearly reacting.
100%. No, this, the Lugol's iodine is intense.
Yeah. People post my Facebook group. They'll be like, iodine, try supplementing. I'm like, hold the phone, like proceed very slowly.
No. So if you want iodine, just take like, you know, take some Nori sheets or something. Don't. Lugol's iodine is not to get iodine. That is if you have a serious infection that you can't get rid of. For me, it's like if I got COVID, I might take a little bit of it or something.
Have you supplemented with methylene blue?
I have, yeah. I've tried that out a bunch of times.
Did you have any good response to it?
Yeah, pretty decent.
It's another one of those ones that would like I've experimented with. You get like scared doing it because you have to like dilute it so much. And you're like, am I going to kill myself?
That's so funny. We're very similar. So I was always like, I reacted to it when I was taking a higher dose, but I found that the micro dosing of it was not bad. Actually, taking very, very tiny doses was pretty decent. But you need to take very tiny doses because it does cause oxidative stress also. It's like a Lugol's iodine almost if you take too much. And I'm seeing people taking like 5 milligrams. I'm like, holy crap.
So for listeners, again, so methylene blue, it's Well, it's very blue. What is it? An anti... They use it to clean fish tanks.
It's an antimicrobial, and it's an antimicrobial, essentially. They originally used it for like malaria or something. But yeah, it's an antimicrobial, and it also can improve mitochondrial function, but you don't want to take too much of it. It's kind of like it will cause oxidative stress. And I think I'm susceptible to that. So I'm more sensitive to the Lugol's iodine and methylene blue than I think normal people, or just, you know, maybe some other people. But it seems like we're equally sensitive.
Yeah, no, I'm like a sensitive butterfly.
Check out your SOD2 gene.
It comes up under longevity score. It's a frowny face.
Okay, there you go. Let me check out mine. Yeah, I also have the frowny face. That's the one. Yeah, it's increased. I told you. You see, I knew it. Yeah, I've got the frowny face as well. So that one is particularly for longevity, but it's for oxidative stress as well. But we do it based on the topic rather than oxidative stress, because that's what the science is on.
Hi, friends. One of the most valuable things that I do every single night of my life is my infrared sauna session. The brand that I use is Sunlighten. I did a lot of research on infrared saunas before deciding on them. Their saunas are so high quality, they're low EMF. And what I really love is they have a solo unit. That's what I have. And it's really great if you live in a small apartment, might be moving. It's just really an amazing investment. And they have incredible deals and offers on it right now. You can actually get up to $200 off with the code Melanie Avalon. Or if you're talking to a rep, just tell them that I sent you. And like I said, that will be up to $200 off. And that will also get you $99 shipping. Normally the shipping is like $600. So that's a really, really big deal. And if you do purchase a sauna, forward your proof of purchase to podcast@melanieavalon.com. And I will also send you a signed copy of my book, What, When, Why. If you'd like to learn more about the science of sauna, two resources. I interviewed the founder of Sunlighten, Connie Zack. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then I also recently did an epic blog post all about the science of sauna. I will also put that in the show notes. All right, now back to the show. Hi, friends. An incredible fasting aid is coffee. Yes, I am all about the coffee. I am a huge fan of its health benefits, as well as how it can support your fast and really help with energy and fat burning. And I have a big announcement. The brand of coffee that I have been drinking for an entire decade now, I am no longer drinking. There's some drama, there's some science, and I'm about to tell you how to get a discount on my new favorite coffee. So I've been drinking the coffee formerly known as Dave Asprey's Bulletproof Coffee for literally a decade. I do not drink it now, so this is not a Bulletproof Coffee commercial, but I started drinking it because I so trusted Dave and his obsession in creating mold-free coffee, because moldy coffee beans is a huge problem, and a lot of people can get health issues, brain fog, and crash after coffee because of the mold contamination. Dave has been talking about this for so long, so I really trusted him and I would drink Bulletproof Coffee, which I absolutely loved, and loved that it was mold-free. Then there was some drama. Dave sort of got kicked out of Bulletproof. He might be going back. There's a lot of stuff going on with that. Follow him on Instagram if you want to learn more about that. He even talked about it at the recent biohacking conference. But in any case, drama aside, he can no longer speak to Bulletproof Coffee as to whether or not it is mold-free, and he ended up making a coffee even better than Bulletproof Coffee, and it is called Danger Coffee, and friends, I love it. It's the first coffee that is not only mold-free, but actually can help you remineralize. Yep, that's right. Danger Coffee contains a patent-pending formula that actually remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals, nutrients, and electrolytes. On top of that, it is super clean. I know people like to see organic labels. Friends, I have learned so much about the certification industry. And honestly, the best of the best is finding people that you trust who do extensive testing and third-party certification. That's what I do with my Avalon X supplements, and that's what Dave does with Danger Coffee. So with Danger Coffee, they use a process that far exceeds government and industry standards, and it is third-party lab tested, so you can rest assured it is free of mold toxins. As for the flavor, Dave selected these hand-picked, farm-direct beans for their quality, their superb flavor, and their elevated performance. I love the taste of it. It's much richer and more nuanced than Bulletproof Coffee. It's honestly one of the best coffees I've ever tasted, and it's so exciting to know that when I'm drinking it, I'm actually helping to remineralize my body. So that's right, if you want your coffee to contain antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, micronutrients, and help optimize your fasting, you want Danger Coffee. And of course, I have a discount for you guys. You can go to melanieavalon.com/dangercoffee and use the coupon code MelanieAvalon to get 10% off. Again, that is melanieavalon.com/dangercoffee with the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off. This is my favorite coffee. Like I said, it takes some really good coffee and convincing biohacking health reasons to break me from my 10-year decade bulletproof coffee habit. But sometimes you just gotta upgrade. And by the way, this would make epic presents for people. This can just become your go-to present. Not only will people love it, but you'll be helping their health as well. Everybody wins. MelanieAvalon.com/dangercoffee with the coupon code DANGERCOFFEE. Hi friends, I'm about to tell you how to get one of my favorite things to support your fast for completely free. Yes, completely free. So here's the thing. When people feel tired, crampy, or weak during fasting, they usually blame that on a lack of food. And true, that's certainly part of it. All of those symptoms can be due to low blood sugar, which is hypoglycemia. However, did you know there's another major cause of those symptoms? That would be inadequate electrolytes. Low electrolytes can affect anyone who fasts because actually food is our main source of electrolytes. And during a fast, you're not consuming anything. You also excrete more sodium in a fasted state. So you have fewer electrolytes coming in during a fast and more going out. That makes it super easy for deficiencies to develop, manifesting in things like cramps, headaches, brain fog, lack of energy, and other uncomfortable symptoms. But thankfully, you can prevent this with electrolytes. So what's the problem? Most of the electrolyte products on the market are either loaded with sugar or woefully lacking in actual electrolytes. That's why I and so many of you guys are obsessed with Element. Element was created by former research biochemist Rob Wolf with KetoGains founder Luis Villasenor. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to move the needle and keep you feeling and performing your best. Plus, friends, so many electrolyte supplements out there are full of so much stuff that you don't want to be putting in your body. Element has zero sugar, zero artificial colors, zero dodgy ingredients that might be holding you back. So yes, you can drink the raw, unflavored Element during your fast to help support it without breaking it, while of course supporting your hydration in general. It's especially important if you train fasted, since you lose extra electrolytes through sweat. And guess what? Research actually suggests that sodium supplementation mitigates weight rebound after a fast. Element also comes in so many incredible flavors for your eating window. They've got flavors like citrus salt, which by the way, makes an awesome low-carb margarita, raspberry salt, mango chili, chocolate salt, my favorite watermelon, and so much more. And I'm so excited because Element has a fantastic offer for you guys. Just go to drinklmnt.com/MelanieAvalon to get a free sample pack with your order. That's drinklmnt.com/MelanieAvalon to get a free sample pack with your order. Yes, you can try all the flavors completely free. drinklmnt.com/MelanieAvalon. And we'll put all this information in the show notes.
Yeah, so for listeners, like if they had searched for this, what it came up with was the one I clicked on was like, can antioxidant defenses increase lifespan? And then it says SOD2 and it says like based on SOD2 and like my frowny face here. So yeah. And then there's a lot of information. It's much more nuanced than that.
Right. So it's like your personalized gene summary based on the variants we looked at. Your SOD gene 2 gene is not associated with exceptional longevity. Your extracellular antioxidants may not be functioning optimally. A diet rich in manganese may help support SOD2. And then it gives you other recommendations as well.
Oh, yeah, it does. Like diet, lifestyle. Oh, this is so interesting. Oh, my goodness. I could be on this one. I could be on this platform for hours. New favorite website after self-hacked.
Well, it's the world's only personalized blog. Basically, it's like imagine reading a health website, but it's all personalized to you.
All to you. Yeah, this is. Oh, is TH1 and TH2? Does it have that?
We have TH1 and we don't have a particular post on TH1 or TH2 dominance just because we do We do post based on the topic. So there are posts that have to do with TH.
Stat 3.
Stat 3 is TH1. Basically, that's the TH1 dominant protein. So if you type in stat 3, you'll see what comes up.
So I have a smiley face.
So the thing is that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 posts come up for me. So if you only have one post come up, it comes, come up means your file is very limited. So I have one related to thyroid, autoimmune thyroid disease, and that one is bad. I have one related to inflammation. That one is IBD, and we know I have gut issues. So that one, So that one was actually orange face. And then there's ones related to diet, like weight gain, and that's smiley face because I'm actually naturally pretty thin. So all these things make sense right now. You know, if I'm like looking at this, you know, there's another one related to weight. That's smiley face because, again, I have no issue with that gene as it relates to weight. It's really interesting. Like the variants that cause you to have inflammation also can't cause you to lose weight. That's why a lot of TH1 dominant people are thin. And the one that is related to psoriasis, I come up with a positive face, but basically, and also one related to multiple sclerosis, smiley face. So, but it really makes sense because the ones where I'm not smiley face have to do with IBD and thyroid. Thyroid is very genetic. My mom has Hashimoto's and I'm definitely susceptible to it, but I've counteracted it. So I don't have Hashimoto's.
Are you of the opinion with Hashimoto's, for example, because I've been speaking with a lot of thyroid specialists recently, and the two that I recently spoke to were both of the opinion that basically all hypothyroidism almost is Hashimoto's?
No, I don't buy that. I mean, I had hypothyroidism, but I didn't have Hashimoto's. I don't think it was Hashimoto's because I didn't have the antibodies. But I think eventually, my mom didn't get Hashimoto's when she was my age. She got it in her 50s. It takes time. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean you'll get it right away, but I know that if I don't do the right things, I'm going to get it when I get older because I got her genes with her gut and her thyroid.
So my nuance on that is it possible that because we know that, you know, autoimmune conditions take, you know, stages and take so long. Actually, the episode for listeners that I released this week, although not this week that this releases, but literally the week that we're recording right now, was with Dr. Will Cole, who just wrote Ketotarian and the Inflammation Spectrum on Autoimmunity. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But so my nuance on that is, so say based on your genes, you know, if you didn't address your genes, your diet, your lifestyle, you think it's possible that down the road you might get Hashimoto's. So would it be possible that like any symptoms you had of hypothyroidism now or did have, were still connected to Hashimoto's?
I think it's more connected to general inflammation because when I reduced my inflammation, my thyroid hormone levels went up. So for literally, I was checking my thyroid hormone since I was 18, just because I was been into this stuff for a long time. And I saved my labs too. I was like saving my labs since I'm like 18 because I knew I had issues. I'm like, I just need to save these for the future. Like I was taking them for a long time and they were like 2.6, my free T3 every time. Until I reduce my inflammation. And now every time it's 3.3 to 3.4 or something, you know, it's got a narrow band of what the results are. But I just, every time I stopped taking it because I know what my results are now. You know, like I uploaded all my labs to the lab analyzer and self-decode. Now it was really very interesting. You could upload a whole bunch of labs and you could get, you know, you see exactly which labs are suboptimal. And you could track them over time and see what to do, how to make it better.
Will it keep them all in one platform?
Yep. The lab analyzer is its own.
I have so many labs.
Yeah, no, it was its own company. But what we decided is that people, based on the feedback, is people really want them in the same platform, right? So we want to make it that this is your, you know, one-stop guide for personalized health. And that's why we're also going to, if you're part of Self-Decode, you know, platform, you also get access to Self-Hacked, which we're going to make into a paywall since Google's not a thing anymore for us.
So you said the lab part has not launched yet, right? But it will by the time?
It's on the testing site. We're just testing it out now. We're making sure that there's no bugs or anything like that. It has its own site. If you go to labtestanalyzer.com, you can get it. But there's no reason to if you just get the self-decode. We're basically phasing that out because if someone just gets the labs, we feel like you're missing the genetics. If you just have the genetics, you're missing the labs. And we don't want two different platforms that, you know, people are using. We have a lot of people who are subscribed to both, actually, but we just want everything to be in one platform for simplicity. So one sign in, and then we can also connect all the data so that, you know, when you download a report, it's going to also be labs. And we just think that having them combined is way, way stronger than having them individually.
Awesome. Is it going to be like when people sign up automatically, that's the only option is to get everything, or do they choose?
No, the only option is to get everything.
Awesome.
Because it's really important. Honestly, even though I knew like a lot of information from it, when I uploaded my labs, I made a lot of changes, like, and that were beneficial. I was able to track it through the labs. So some of the changes I didn't necessarily feel better on, but I noticed that my labs were better from it. And that's a objective indicator, because you might feel okay on something, but the labs will really show you what is going on. So I think you need everything. You need the genetics, you need the labs, you also need something that's going to handle symptoms and like just all of your health information. So that we're really trying to make something that's like a personalized search engine, if you will, for your health.
Did you say the diet one is coming soon? The diet report?
The diet report is coming soon, yeah. So that won't be out right when this launches, but it'll be out probably. I don't know when this launches, but it'll be out end of July, probably early August.
Okay, awesome.
But right now, if you go to the diet section, you'll see quite a few posts. Yeah, we have quite a lot of posts on it. So there's a lot of information you'll get on diet right now. It's just that we like to make everything really comprehensive. And then that's when we get a report on it. And so then that's when it gives you like makes more sense of all the information combined. But right now you can go to each post individually and see which ones are, you know, how to improve your diet, you know, based on your genes. So a lot of them have to do with weight, by the way. Basically, like, because that's what a lot of the research talks about.
Yeah. For example, if I type in diet, some of the questions I see are like, do your genes favor the Mediterranean diet? How do your genes respond to dietary fat? Should you avoid the keto diet? Can high protein diets help you lose weight? I love it. Well, the diet report, I know probably one of the biggest questions is like, is a low fat or low carb diet better for me? Will it talk about that? I'm assuming.
Exactly. It'll answer those questions.
So the next book I want to write, which I'm really shocked that nobody has written this yet, so just putting it out there to the universe, is I want to write a diet on why both low carb and low fat work, if practiced correctly. It's like there's all these dietary wars about low carb versus low fat, but I think so often low carb isn't low carb enough, or low fat isn't low fat enough. So I want to do like a comparison, a really nuanced, non-cherry-picked comparison of the literature, because it's such a war.
We're doing a lot of posts on that right now, actually. And a lot of it has to do with your genetics, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of studies that show if you do a low-fat diet and you have this variation, you're more likely to lose weight. If you do, you know, if you're a low-carb diet and you have this variation, you're more likely to lose weight on a low-carb diet. It goes both ways. It really has to do with genetics.
So huge.
We don't know all the answers right now. There's always new, with all these topics, there's always new information coming. And what we do is we constantly update the reports and the blog, new posts come out. And so every time, you know, with weight also, there was a new gene that they discovered just like, you know, that had a significant impact on weight like a month ago. So there's always new information coming out. That's why it's like, you know, we try to have posts every day, like a bunch of posts every week, basically on the personalized blog. You're always getting updates on like just these daily updates, basically on your genes.
I love it. And I will say, I think we mentioned it briefly, but you guys did just put out a COVID specific one based on your genes, which is really interesting, showing your potential susceptibility and implications of COVID. So what genes is that based on?
The COVID and respiratory infection report, because COVID, there's basically like the biggest complication of COVID is this respiratory distress that people get, this inflammation overload. So There's genes related to how easily COVID can get inside your cells. That has to do with ACE2 and TMPRSS2 and some other genes. There's like genes related to your blood type, which there's a lot of news that came out right now. We're actually updating the COVID report just because there's new information that's coming out, essentially, right? So like I said, we're always going to be updating these reports. A lot of genes have to do with inflammatory cytokines, actually. So I have a gene that causes Th17 dominance and like a lot of autoimmune issues. But guess what? It also causes inflammation, like a cytokine. It can, you know, cause a cytokine storm, contribute to a cytokine storm if, you know, someone gets COVID. But again, it also has to do, these are kind of genetic risk factors. You really also want to look at the totality of like other information, which is why we have like a COVID risk assessment, because something like age is going to be way more important than any gene you have, to be honest. But yeah, so we take a holistic approach. We're looking at the immune system. We're giving recommendations based on that. We're giving recommendations based on the genetics. But also, you can look at the risk assessment to put in different information. You'll get, you know, risk of being hospitalized or dying from COVID. But if you're young, you'll see your risk is pretty low, especially if you're female, because testosterone actually increases the risk. Estrogen decreases the risk. So that's very interesting. But basically, there's a lot of genes that have to do with the inflammatory cytokine storms. And then there's, you know, there's, like I said, there's genes that have to do with the entry into your cells, but also there's genes that have to do with your antiviral responses as it relates to COVID and other respiratory infections. So even if you're not worried about COVID, it turns out that, and this is something that I just realized as I was doing research on COVID, is that respiratory infections and infections in general is one of the biggest killers in the world. In the developed world as well. Like, there's tons of people who die from the flu every year. There's other respiratory infections. It's actually one of the top 10 killers, right? So it's just something that I think is important. And COVID really, even if you don't think that it's that dangerous for you, you know, it's just something that I think should be on your radar in terms of respiratory infections. My dad actually died from a respiratory infection.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
It was, you know, a number of years ago. I didn't understand it then. He was like, wow, he had, you know, respiratory, like, didn't make sense. I thought they misdiagnosed him or something, or they didn't know what was going on. But it just turns out there's a lot of people that die from respiratory infections, and you're more susceptible the older you are. So if you're young, it's not something you have to worry about so much. But as you get older, it is, you know, you got to make sure your immune system is strong. And even if you're young, some people have are immunodeficient, and it makes a difference, especially with, you know, something that's more dangerous than the flu like COVID.
That's so fascinating. And then like in the reports, it provides so much information. And like at the end, it gives you practical takeaways, very implementable. So it's just really, really incredible. Well, this has been absolutely amazing. So listeners, if you are interested in getting started with the Self2Code platform, I cannot recommend it enough. It is my new obsession. It's absolutely incredible. You can go to get.selfdecode.com/Melanie Avalon. So get.selfdecode.com/Melanie Avalon. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, and that will give you 10% off, which is super awesome. So super grateful for that. Before I let you go, rapid fire question. I just have to get your thoughts on some of my favorite lifestyle biohacks. Do you practice intermittent fasting?
It doesn't work for me.
No way. You're more of a like a grazer type, or like a constant small meals?
No, I eat big meals, but intermittent fasting just does not. I eat two big meals a day, and maybe I'll graze on something a little, but mainly two big meals a day. But I need to eat in the morning. If I don't eat, it's a big problem. It worsens my mood a lot. I just have a lot less energy. Motivation goes down. It's really not good for me.
So interesting. So you do a breakfast and a dinner?
I do a big breakfast, or, you know, I eat something, right? It's a small breakfast, I'll eat a lunch. But if it's a big breakfast, I eat a big breakfast and then I eat a big dinner.
Okay, gotcha.
But my intermittent fasting is like, I try not to eat like 3-4 hours before bed.
See, that's the thing I can't do that I want to do. I'm a late night eater, but like that's what works for me. Like that's what keeps me functional and feeling good, which is
because it probably helps you sleep better.
Yep, it does.
So it's same thing with me. It's just that I try to do it not too late, right? So 3 hours is still good for me. It's kind of like you have to find that balance. You don't want to eat right before you go to sleep, obviously. Even an hour or even an hour and a half, 2 hours. 3 hours is a good balance. You should try that and see if it works.
I have. Doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's it. You know what you could try? Try eating more in the day.
I have. And when I do that, I still... That's why it really doesn't work. That's why I have to do intermittent fasting. Because if I start eating during the day, I just eat all day.
You got to do what works for you. Everyone's different. That's what, you know, I came to that realization a long time ago. You could see it right here.
I know, exactly. That's why it just drives me crazy that people are always like fighting and saying like, this is right or this is right. I'm like, maybe it's all individual. And people are always like asking me, they're like, what do you do so I can do it? I'm like, I'll tell you what I do, but that doesn't mean that's what you should do. So yeah, I love this. My other two favorite quote biohacks are cold exposure. I love cold.
Cold exposure is amazing. I love that.
I'm like such a cold fan. I'm bringing Wim Hof on soon. Have you ever talked with him?
I haven't talked to him, no, but yeah.
I'm so excited. He's like such a character. I can't even. I'm going to be like fangirling so much. And then sauna. I love sauna.
Sauna's great. I'm a big fan of sauna and cold exposure.
Okay, awesome. Do you have any other favorites that you would throw in lifestyle-wise or lifestyle practices?
And those are two, sun as well.
Oh, yeah. Do you do a tanning bed during the winter?
No, I just live in warm locations. I can't live in a cold place. Yeah, I got to live in a place that has sun throughout the year.
Where do you live?
I moved recently. I was in Southern California, Newport Beach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just moved from LA.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. We should have met if I would have known before. But yeah, if I'm in the US.
Oh, where are you now?
So now I decided to go for a year to Tel Aviv and try it out.
Oh, wow. And how is that?
So far, it's very good. I mean, yeah, it's got some negatives, but it's very good. I like it. I like it.
Was it a spontaneous decision or?
Yeah. Yeah. It's got the beach. I'm right next to the beach, which is great. It's got an amazing beach. I love volleyball, so it's got that. The Mediterranean is really nice to swim in. I swim in it every day now or most days of the week, so that's really good. It's cool. You get a bit of cold exposure, but not too cold. But yeah, I like that. And I like the people in Tel Aviv a lot. It's just everyone's like different. Everyone's very open-minded. It's very, you know, I don't know. You could say whatever you want here and nobody just blinks. Like you could just say whatever you're thinking. And that's the type of person I am. I just say whatever I'm thinking. It doesn't go down in California very well, but you know, in Tel Aviv, it goes down well.
So funny. I want to move to Alaska spontaneously. I might for the cold, actually.
For the cold. Wow. So you like the cold?
I do. I really do. I'm so happy when it's like really cold. I don't know, are there genes related to that and longevity? I just feel like it's literally the most healing thing for my body. My body's just like healed.
As you'll like look through different reports and different blogs, you'll see cold as a recommendation just because it actually impacts a lot of genes for the better. As we're building out the weight report, it's you know, there's a lot of genes that are impacted by cold, like the UCP genes, like the uncoupling proteins. You know, it has obviously very wide-ranging effects and there's a lot of genes related to cold and how it relates to weight loss, longevity, bunch of mood, bunch of different things, cognitive function. It's something that, you know, you could see if you have the genes related to each topic. And I think you're going to find that very interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that is just, it's just me. Oh, I love it. Probably on the flip side of the spectrum, the genes related to vitamin D, it's probably huge. So love it. Last rapid fire question. What do you think about people's like the placebo and nocebo effect with their genes?
No, there's a lot of genes that actually impact that.
Oh gosh. Oh my goodness. The amount of like meta-ness in that is just too much.
There's genes related to COMT, MAOA. I know there's other ones. I want to say the opioid receptor. I'm not 100% sure. I think the serotonin receptors as well. But yeah, essentially, that's also impacted by your genes, of course.
Oh gosh, my brain almost can't handle the implications of that.
Yeah, no, it look, at the end of the day, like you're saying, you know, mindset, if you believe something, that can have a very positive impact on your mood and your mood can have a very positive impact on your whole body. That's why when, you know, we talk about the gut report, mood is very important for your how your gut functions and inflammation and all these other things. So that's kind of why I really like the mood report, just because I find mood is like a basis for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's so important. And so to that point, the last question I always ask is, what is something that you're grateful for?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm grateful for a bunch of things. I'm grateful that I have my health. I'm grateful that I have these companies that I can create a positive impact, you know, while also supporting myself. I never wanted to be like a lawyer where there was like a zero-sum game. You win and someone else loses. I always wanted that. My health and my companies, those are things that I think are unique that I'm really grateful for.
Well, that is incredible. I am so grateful for your work. Like I said, I've been following it for years now, because you asked me at the beginning, when did I start reading it? And you said you launched the site in 2014. And honestly, I do think, because 2014 is when I really started going on all these research rabbit holes. And I feel like I've been on your site probably that long. And now with the self-decode thing, it's just so amazing. So I'm so grateful for it. Again, for listeners, if you like to get on the platform yourself, you can get that at get.selfdecode.com/Melanie Avalon for 10% off. And yes, well, this has been absolutely amazing. And we'll have to stay in touch and maybe bring you on again in the future.
Awesome. Great speaking to you.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Melanie Avalon Biohacking Podcast. For more information, you can check out my book, What When Wine, Lose Weight and Feel Great with Paleo-Style Meals, Intermittent Fasting, and Wine, as well as my blog, melanieavalon.com. Feel free to contact me at podcast@melanieavalon.com. And always remember, you got this.